Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're back with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, 11 o'clock on a Tuesday. The Astros taking on the Mariners last night. That's, of course, Paul's wife versus mistress type scenario here at Minute Maid Park. It got a little dicey.
It was hot.
Got a little dicey.
Don't you like to see, you know, your significant other and your ex-significant other get into a little bit of an exchange?
Yeah, the ego.
I mean, it's embarrassing, but there's a part of you inside, I would imagine. This has never happened for me, Vanessa. Has this ever happened for you?
Where I've had guys fight over me?
Yeah.
No.
No? Really?
No. There's been some incidents, but... but it's not been anything too.
Okay.
No, but there's been some incidents.
Yeah.
There's not been any brawls, but there's been some incidents.
Have there been, instead of brawls, have there been some
words exchanged?
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, the problem is, and there should never be if you don't like either one that much to begin with. And I'll leave.
Well, see, that there should be a little bit of appreciation for it. You're like, all right, I'm getting some free entertainment.
Yeah, it's entertainment.
Look how awesome I am. They're about to kill each other. And I don't even like either of them.
Right. A boost to the ego, for sure. The Astros lost the game, but what really caught attention once again in the ninth inning when the game is almost over, there was, we're not sure what to call it. We call it a brawl sarcastically, even though we're well aware that it is not a brawl. An incident, either way, the bench is cleared. And this is what it sounded like on the Seattle Mariners broadcast.
That hit him.
What's Ty saying?
I'm not sure.
I'm just saying it didn't hit him. And now the Astros dugout just exploded. And now both sides are getting into it. Here we go. Now Scott Servais is one of the first to spill out. That escalated quickly. Now somebody said something.
I think what Ty was doing is he said that it hit him. The umpire said it didn't. And then Ty looked at the dugout and wanted Scott to take a look at it. I hope everybody calms down a little bit.
I mean, I guess this is heat of the moment, but what was the heat for?
It's a great question. I'm still confused. I watched it several times last night. I watched it several times this morning. And I'm trying to figure out why Scott Servais all of a sudden just started swearing at the Astros dugout. Did someone in the Astros dugout say something? I got to say that it's the Root Sports Northwest broadcast has some pretty awesome dugout mics because you could hear them saying something on that broadcast. I again have no idea what it was, but I was more confused than anything just watching the whole thing in totality. I mean, first off, you have one of the Astros getting plunked earlier. It was Kyle Tucker. So you could make the argument, okay, well, this was Houston retaliating against Ty France, who at the time is the Mariners' best hitter. But I'm not even sure if it hit Ty France. And Ty France has been one of the most hit batters in all of baseball over the last couple of years. I remember this because we used to joke about this in Seattle. Oh, did Ty France get hit tonight? Did he get a hit or did he get hit? Because he got hit a lot. I think he got plunked like 20-plus times last year. So it was one of those things where you're trying to figure out what happened. And then all of a sudden, Scott Servais is like, wah! Like he's a Godzilla or something like that. And the next thing you know, yeah, both sides are out.
If you were watching last night when the camera zoomed in on Scott, he seemed very, very mad. I don't know what he was mad about. I always love that Dusty Baker puts on for his guys. Here's Dusty Baker after the game on that quote-unquote incident.
It's behind France, but I mean, you know, in a one-run game, you're not going to put anybody on, you know, by throwing at them. You know, we don't do that anyway, and this is what happens a lot of times. You know, when you have the DH and the pitcher doesn't come to the plate. like I said, it was a series of bad events, and I don't want to talk about it too much more because I'm already kind of pissed off.
Already kind of pissed off.
He had said earlier, too, that it was summer and you know, people get heated during the summer.
Yeah, right. Oh, it's the air conditioning. Maybe it was at 75 instead of 72. I think that Seattle and Houston have some real beef. What it exactly stems from, on Houston's side, it's that Seattle actually plays pretty well against them of late. It had not been that way for what, like, ever before that? I mean, there was a year where the Astros were 18-1 against Seattle, and I think Seattle had like a plus 500 record and 90 wins or something like that. But something's going on, and I like it. And I know last night I saw Jeremy Brandon like, look at these clowns from Seattle acting all high and mighty. Well, I mean, they won the game.
Yeah, the Seattle crowd was not happy with Jeremy Brandon, who you'll hear next from 12 to 3 on the Killer Bees.
I'm intrigued to hear how he's going to sound. He was mad.
He changed the profile picture and everything. They were very mad at him.
They were. And look, I think they were a little over the top mad. I mean, they got mad at me before and they totally forgot that I did this exact same thing before I moved from Houston to Seattle. I said, like, listen, you don't matter. But now that I've had like a little perspective on the other side of things, and I do like Mariners fans, even though they're coming after Jeremy Branham, I do have to say, like, very clearly, this is not a rivalry. This is a team trying to start one, but I'm all here for it. Even if this is just like the one episode of Always Sunny in Philadelphia where the gang puts the rivalry back on for Flip-Philadelphia with some people that totally forgot about their existence entirely. And it boils over to the point that they set the guy's house on fire, that they poison him, all sorts of different things. I'm here for it. The Astros don't really have any rivals. So if a team wants to decide to puff their chest out, great. It's a bigger target for the Astros' Death Star to come after them. But look, of late, Seattle has held their own, right? I mean, of all the series that the Astros have played thus far this year, where have they had the most trouble? I mean, they lost an early season series to Seattle. They lost their most recent series with Seattle. They lose the opener. Seattle's played them well this year.
Are you guys worried about Alex Bregman, who has not gotten out of his slump yet?
Yeah, I am a little bit. And Vanessa, I thought about this when I saw in the Astros press release about Jordan Alvarez winning player of the week. And he had an awesome week and he's been playing incredible. And congratulations, you get the extension the same week that you get named AL player of the week. But the last AL player of the week for the Astros was Alex Bregman. And look, I'm not, I guess, freaking out. I'm just wondering, okay, well, is the Alex Bregman that we remember from a couple of years ago, the guy that is under contract for, you know, a pretty reasonable rate with you, is that Alex Bregman going to be back?
He's always super confident, always super chill. He said a couple weeks ago, I'm pretty good at baseball. I'll figure it out. I'll work on my swing. But this has been longer than we expected.
Sitting 217. His slugging percentage is 380. I mean, it's not good. And I know he's a good fielder. He is a good player. But it's just not enough. I mean, if you're going to be matching run for run with the New York Yankees, this is one of the guys that you're expecting to be hitting like 280 come playoff time. One of the guys that you're expecting to be, you know, clubbing doubles to left field. And whatever it is right now, there is an extended sample size of these struggles. And is it the injury from last year? What is it? That's, I guess, what I'm trying to figure out. And you know, Vanessa, when I hear Alex Bregman asked about it, he's going to say all the things, all he can say. Like, what can you really say when you're going through a slump? But every single time he's been asked about it, he's saying the same things over and over. And I'm just like, shoot, I don't really know what it is that he can do differently that's going to get him back on the right track.
All right, we're hoping that Breggy, of course, can get back on track. Meanwhile, we are counting down the days till the NFL season. We miss it when it's not here. And it's that time, guys, that summer content comes out. The lists, the predictions.
Yeah.
Now that we're past draft, it's who's going to be the best rookie. Pro Football Focus put together a list that they basically introed by saying it was based on some kind of fancy analytics data. They actually used the term Pythagorean wins. What does that mean? Sean, can you help, or is that even like beyond your scope of knowledge?
So the Pythagorean theorem is a squared plus b squared equals
what?
C squared.
Okay.
And so what you do, no, I have no idea.
Yeah, I was going to say it's terrible. But they use quote unquote fancy data. They come
old Pythagoras.
Yeah.
Is that his name?
Yes. He big football fan that yeah. Greek philosopher or mathematician.
They released
he liked running the ball.
A list of their top 10 coaches.
Drafting running backs in the first.
That Good Morning Football eviscerated because there's no McVay and no Tomlin on it.
And there was
here
no David Culley either.
Yeah, what the hell? Belichick, number one. John Harbaugh. Andy Reid. Cliff Kingsbury comes in at number four.
Oh, boy.
Pete Carroll at number five. Matt LaFleur, number six. Kyle Shanahan, number seven. Mike Vrabel, number eight. Frank Reich, number nine. Mike McCarthy, 10. Peter Schrager's issue with this, and I think a lot of people saw no McVay, no Tomlin on a top 10 coaches list. So what do we think about no McVay or no Tomlin? And did Cliff Kingsbury's parents write this list, putting him at number four as the best coach?
Don't you think? So, listen, I don't know what Pro Football Focus, numbers-wise, how they incorporate the coach's hotness into it. But, I mean, that's the only way. Like, is there a metric for he's hot? That Cliff Kingsbury would get in because he has been tremendously underwhelming as a head coach in the NFL. Everyone agrees. Wow, what a great start last year, Cardinals. You puked it away down the stretch, and you could blame it on Kyler Murray or DeAndre Hopkins being injured, but whatever the case, Cliff Kingsbury's top 10. Mike McCarthy?
Yeah, Mike McCarthy, rounds off the list.
How do you feel about Frank Reich being at the
it's
top of that?
Very strange. I mean, very strange. I think, obviously,
that's a reach, too.
That's a huge reach, and you look at the decision that he basically made to bring Carson Wentz and then couldn't do a lot with the offense at certain times in the season.
I see lists like this, and we don't have to deal with these people as much here as we do up in the Pacific Northwest, but the complete surety that folks from Pro Football Focus say things that can be so just outrageously wrong or just
data
looking bad. It really is a turnoff because there are things that I actually would like to look at Pro Football Focus as like a nice tool, but they're so bleeping sure of themselves. And it's like, what? Mike McCarthy. Why is Mike McCarthy on this list at all?
We want to know what you guys think of this list. We have to get to a break, but we're going to come
Pete
back
Carroll
to this
too.
After the break. I want
Why
your
like?
Take on the Pete Carroll thing for sure. And, of course, we want your take on this list that excludes Tomlin and McVay and includes Cliff Kingsbury. 713-780-ESPN. Coming back, we're going to talk about this list. You guys can give your input as well. Plus, which former Texans player do you still root for? That's next.
First, I got to tell you about my friends at the Passive Investor Network. I root for them. PassiveInvestor.net is where you go. And they do these bus tours. There's one that's coming up. Oh, just a little bit away. Hell yeah. You want to come on the bus tour and see what the Passive Investor Network can do for you? Well, next Saturday, the 18th, at promo code ESPN, you can go out there. They're going to drive you all around town and show you prospective areas for real estate that they're looking at and thinking that they can flip and turn into the next version of the Heights or some of the other neighborhoods that we have in the greater Houston area. The Passive Investor Network, they're a group of people that are going to sit down with you and have a personalized 5-year plan, no matter what your income status might be, that's going to help you get real returns on your investment through real estate. And a lot of us are probably thinking, oh, shoot, am I ever going to be able to invest that kind of money? That's why you sit down with them, you talk with them, and they're going to walk you through it. And even better, on top of all of that, I mean, they're going to take the whole process out of your hands. You can be hands-on if you want, but don't you want to have experts handling this whole thing for you? It's the Passive Investor Network. It's real estate with a lot of help from friendly, awesome people. PassiveInvestor.net, promo code ESPN for that bus tour. Again, it's June 18th. PassiveInvestor.net, promo code ESPN.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, Pro Football Focus's list of the top 10 coaches that does not include Mike Tomlin and Sean McVay has gotten a lot of attention. Good Morning Football calling the list quote-unquote bold. I think we can agree with that. Frank Reich coming in at number nine. Yeah, just a strange list. Just a very strange list.
It's bizarre. I feel that...
I mean, Belichick at number one is expected,
well,
right?
Well, duh. I mean, that's just obvious. But
It's like they only looked at the top three when they announced the list, because the top three makes perfect sense. That's a perfectly defensible. That's a perfectly defensible top three.
Belichick, Harbaugh, Reed.
Yes, and then four and five is where it falls off the rails, and then six, you're like, oh yeah, Matt LaFleur.
Right.
It's based off of if you have an average roster, how would you do? But how can you really judge, I guess, anyone on whether they have an average roster or not when some of the guys who are ranked here, like, oh, so we know that Andy Reid would do well if he didn't have Patrick Mahomes, and you would expect him to do pretty well.
Yeah, Alex Smith, they made the playoffs like every
Wouldn't
year.
You say that Cliff Kingsbury has an average roster?
I'd say above average.
Well,
and
above.
He still isn't. Yeah. So, I mean, the list is very, very strange.
And I mean, we'll see with Pete Carroll without Russell Wilson, but I mean, I don't know. It's a strange list. Yeah. 100%. That's really all I can say about it. I'm looking at
it's
the whole
bold.
Thing.
It's dog days of summer type list from PFF, maybe used to incite hashtag engagement.
Lovie Smith is a coach who would have likely less than 9 wins if he was given an average roster. They have him right at the middle, which is,
well,
I guess, 9.
Well, what's he
going
to do with the less than average roster? We will find out in a couple days.
I went to OTAs.
Couple months.
Here are my
that?
Observations. I wrote them down.
Did
my,
you really? Oh, I used this little reporter notebook.
A little handy-dandy notepad. Derek Stingley is tall. Jalen Petrie is paying a lot of attention and is going through the walkthroughs, the very slow motion walkthroughs, with a little more intensity than anybody else. And that's all I have. Also, Justin Britt got hurt, and so did Deshaun Hamilton. That is your Texans OTA update. You're welcome.
Yeah, Lovie Smith said, quote, "We hope they're not serious." Thanks, Lovie.
The Deshaun Hamilton one didn't look good. I didn't see the Justin Britt one. Yeah, that's all I got. I was bummed out. I was like, wait, I came for this.
It's... Yeah, the media availability isn't until we're already on air, which is a major bummer.
But even that, like, I never want to talk to anybody. I just want to watch them like run and play and do football things. And it was just walkthroughs the entire time.
Hashtag analysis, yeah. Right?
But Derek Stingley looks tall. So.
He looks tall, and Andre Johnson said that he's even quieter than he is.
Andre Johnson was there.
Andre Johnson supposedly hated the Texans, then all of a sudden was sitting in a suite with Cal McNair and 50 Cent.
Cal McNair was there.
Was he taller than you thought?
He was. He is pretty tall. Hannah McNair was there. Jack Easterby was there.
He's everywhere. I mean, you don't have to wonder if Jack's around.
Nick Caserio was there, wearing leg sleeves.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
It's kind of hot for that.
So, you know, the flagship thinks that they have the coverage down pat, but
yeah.
I mean, you're not going to go anywhere other than with me for this going forward.
Speaking of Texans.
The football field was green.
There we go. Insight that you can only get from @Gallant says. DeAndre Hopkins, of course, suspended those first 6 games of this upcoming season for violating the league's policy on performance-enhancing drugs. He says, of course, he and his trainer say that it's a conspiracy, that he has no idea how it got in his
But he apologizes.
Shape, as they all say. But I don't actually think that he's fighting it.
We're investigating the matter, but we're not fighting it. Yes.
Josh Weinfuss of ESPN says that Cliff Kingsbury said, number 4 overall best coach, according to PFF, said that Hopkins is expected to be a full go for training camp. Do you all root for DeAndre Hopkins? And if not, who's an ex-Texan that you feel like you can root for?
I think people have turned a little on Hopkins.
Really?
Yeah, and it's weird because, I mean, Bill O'Brien just randomly traded him. I think that a lot of people have been hoping that he doesn't do well because that trade is really bad, and it is a little embarrassing that it took place. So they're hoping that he plays poorly. I don't think that they're rooting for him to get hurt like happened at the end of last year. I don't think that they are rooting for him to get suspended for PEDs, but I don't think that DeAndre Hopkins has the same staying power that he once did here that he used to.
Who's the next Texans player that you still actively root for? A lot of people would probably say J.J. Watt. He is technically still playing.
Yeah, but it's different now because he really is barely playing. It's also weird because all the guys that I remember when I was covering the team for the longest time here, Whitney Mercilus retired, Jonathan Joseph retired, Guys like that, I really enjoy Jonathan Joseph.
Yeah,
in particular.
Joseph played a year in Tennessee, or was it Carolina?
Tennessee. That's right. He might have gone to Carolina too. Honestly, whatever the case, he was no longer the same player that he had been before. Texter, Ryan Fitzpatrick, but he retired. Yep, that's another one. I mean, everyone
technically is a former Texan.
Everyone that you recognize is just gone.
Yeah, I think that speaks to health. Yeah, I mean, the glory days that aren't like the Deshaun Watson days. Like, once you go a little bit, a couple seasons farther than that, it's so long ago that's like, oh, yeah, all those guys are retired now.
I will say Justin Reed. Justin Reed was very easy to deal with for media availability. He was really nice. I liked that he spoke up and then randomly got suspended, but then also got nominated for Walter Payton Man of the Year. Did a lot in the community, all the good stuff.
I hope he's
able to produce in Kansas City. He's not going to be in Houston anymore, or it was easier to shine, that's for sure. But Justin Reed is a former Texan that I can root for.
DJ Reader, AFC champion.
There you go.
The Cincinnati Bengals. How about that? It is weird, though. It's just like a lot of the players that you recognize, you're like, wait, are they even in the league anymore? Including Deshaun Watson.
I still root for his teammate, Jadeveon Clowney.
Yeah.
I still like Clowney.
Jadeveon Clowney, and he's back with the Browns.
Yes. In fact, I love Clowney.
He is one of those guys that I think genuinely likes sailing on the 1 to 2 year deals. Like, I don't think it bothers him.
I think it did at one point. I don't know if it does anymore, though.
It's also hard to, like, once you become the 1 year deal guy, like the not vet minimum, but one year, like 10 mil, it's hard to, like, put together
Rex
a season.
Action.
Yeah, it's hard to put together a season that then gets you, like, a long-term deal, especially once you get 29, 30, however old he is.
Yeah, I like Justin Reed. Whitney Mercilus was really, really easy to root for. Tony Banks, says somebody on the Twitch.
Someone wrote Matt LaFleur, and I'm guessing they also wrote, because he was an offensive assistant for the Texans.
Kyle Shanahan.
That's true.
2008, 2009, Kyle Shanahan. Good
Mike
thing
McDaniel?
Those guys aren't on the staff anymore.
Mike McDaniel is very funny. If Mike McDaniel ends up being good, that could be a former Texans coach, even though he got fired for oversleeping while he was here. That could be
I didn't know that.
Yeah, he had alcohol issues. He's sober now, but he Gary Kubiak fired him.
Gary Kubiak guy I still root for, even though he's retired now.
You gotta root for Gary, though. Gary's like one of the nicest.
That fellow St. Pius the 10th alum,
oh,
Gary
God.
Kubiak.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
You know, there was
He's
a little ironic
school,
moment.
Guys.
I was at St. Pius doing an interview with their football team when I found out Bill O'Brien got fired. I was like, full circle moment.
Wow.
There you go.
High school football.
All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, Saudi Arabia, I think, enters the golf game. It's causing a little bit of controversy.
Everybody makes mistakes. It's fine.
Plus, I watched Top Gun. Hear my totally unbiased review. That's next.
97.5.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, the Texans, just a little bit of breaking news. Got another primetime game, guys.
It's football time in Houston.
In the preseason. Week 3 for the preseason, Thursday, August 25th. It's going to be the 49ers at Houston. It will be on Amazon Prime Video at 7:15 p.m.
Okay.
Central.
Okay. Who are they playing again?
The 49ers.
Oh, well, hey, a Final Four. Team from last year, and it's the third game, which used to be the game where all the starters would play for a little bit of time. So, all right,
Davis Mills versus one play Trey.
Yeah, one
Yo,
play Trey.
Oh, it's Emmanuel Otto talking one play Trey, baby. One play Trey.
There's a reason they call him one play Trey. I'm not going to explain what it is, but he's one play Trey. What was there, like one play that he did? Listen, he's just one play Trey. You don't get it.
Stop trying to make fetch happen, Emmanuel Acho. It's not going to happen.
I just, whenever I hear like a scheduling announcement, I hate the preseason with a passion. I like really hate it.
Really?
I hate it.
I wouldn't expect that because it's not like you hate the combine or the draft.
Oh, wow. That's
or
true.
The international
Paul,
game.
You're a huge NFL fan, but you hate everything about it except for the regular
season.
Yes.
There is a lot of hype around it.
The preseason, I just get flashbacks to working over at the flagship. And spending like a 10-hour Saturday night in my early 20s covering a bleeping preseason game. You know,
yeah, that is time.
It's like, why
were you running the board?
No, I would do like the post game sports flashes, and then I would also like, you know, do interviews. And I would be, the last year I was a part of the post game show, and I just remembered thinking to myself, like, this is so stupid. I am wasting an entire Saturday night of my 20s following a Texans preseason game. But Paul, it's your job to cover sports. I know, but I just, it's not a real game. It doesn't matter.
That is the preseason, and that is the prime time. I am interested to see how Amazon handles the NFL. It'll be Al Michaels, Kirk Herbstreit, I think.
I don't want Herbstreit. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I think of college when I think of him. I don't know. We'll see. Meanwhile, the LIV Golf League, guys, talk about controversy.
Live, laugh, love. Wait,
happening
no.
in not a lot of living.
It's in Saudi Arabia.
Seldom laughing and probably no loving in Saudi Arabia for this golf league. But Dustin Johnson is the latest to excuse himself from the PGA, and then Sergio Garcia.
Of course he would.
And a handful of others. It's the inaugural LIV event held at the Centurion Golf Club outside London. Begins on Thursday. The purse is $25 million, including $4 million to the winner.
It's a ton of money, and they're paying these guys a ton of money just to jump over to the league. And, I mean, we heard, what, Jack Nicklaus was offered an $100 million deal by them, and then we found out that Jack Nicklaus doesn't control his name, image, and likeness anymore, and that he was in trouble for this. He was being sued. But per Greg Norman, they tried to get Tiger Woods to join, who is no longer the same golfer, for nearly, I guess, high nine figures. So possibly we're talking close to $1 billion were offered to Tiger Woods to play in this league. How would you say no to this money? Even if Saudi Arabia is a messed up country, and insert conspiracy that you might have, or just look at the whole, you know, murdering a journalist thing, which Greg Norman said, everyone makes mistakes. So thanks, Greg. What a take. How would you say no to it, regardless of how you feel about Saudi Arabia? If you're one of these golfers and they're paying you that much money to come over and play in this fledgling league, I don't see how you could say no. No matter how successful you might be in the PGA, you would get so much money for this.
You would get a lot of money. Phil Mickelson had some controversial comments, and then, of course, ended up joining the golf event. So we'll see who else follows right. suit. There are guys like Rory McIlroy, who I said he's not going to join, I believe. But yeah, I mean, look, they go where the money is. They go where the money is. And unfortunately, I think the way they probably look at it as we're protected. We're going to have security. We're not going to be going. I mean, they're starting off in London. London's cool. So it might be backed by Saudi, but they probably think that they're fine.
Not very good food in London, you know.
Have you been?
I have been, yes.
Not good food. What's wrong with the food?
I mean, if you eat Indian food, it's great. Indian food's awesome. But I think that English cuisine is just absolutely disgusting.
Mm.
And, you know, not to be surprising, the English just, you know, they're so focused on conquering the world and putting, you know, everyone underneath their boot that they forgot how to learn how to cook.
Tiger Woods has said that he will not support LIV Golf. Time will tell. Money will tell.
I'm surprised that he's saying no to it, because I mean, and as some people have correctly pointed out, he's made a ton of money, that's for sure. He probably wants to be in the Masters every single year, and maybe that's all he wants to do anymore. Maybe that's all his body's even capable of anymore. But man, I don't know how I could say no to high nine figures, especially when I am clearly no longer the same golfer.
Yeah, so apparently Phil Mickelson is joining the league, and according to Brently Romine from Golf Channel, his contract is worth about $200 million.
Well, that's what Phil Mickelson had said. I can't believe they did all that to Jamal Khashoggi. I can't believe
the journalist. Yeah. But again, as Greg Norman said, everyone makes mistakes.
Everyone has a price tag, is accurate.
Especially if you're like Phil Mickelson and are reportedly in $40 million of gambling debt.
Then that will
everyone
definitely
makes
do
mistakes.
It.
It's fine.
Including Phil Mickelson. He makes nothing but mistakes gambling.
If you're his wife, are you just like totally humiliated by that? I mean, everybody thinks that you're rich, and then people find out that you're in the hole. Little bankruptcy, baby.
I don't know. It's kind of a neat flex. Hey, look how much we gamble. We don't care.
Guys, I watched Top Gun.
You did.
I did.
The original one.
The original one.
And you'd never seen it before.
I had never seen it. I was texting the group about it last night.
You did.
I am going to watch the new one.
I will eventually, too. I have yet to do that, though.
Here's the thing.
Oh. Uh-oh.
7 out of 10, maybe. It was fine.
I think that's a good rating for
and I know that
an 80s movie.
35 years later, I do know it's an 80s movie. Killing Goose ruined it.
Ooh.
No, see, that's what made it. That's what makes it good. Is that they killed no. the they build them up and then they
the
kill.
Line,
spoiler
like,
alert, by the way, for Top Gun.
Yeah, sorry.
It's
if you
been
haven't
35
seen it by
years.
Now, that's your problem.
It's your fault.
I mean,
when,
Vanessa until yesterday didn't see it.
Well, that's why you gotta culture yourself.
When Tom Cruise looks at Homegirl and says, "Maybe if the government trusts me, you could trust me." It's a lot of lines like that.
That whole love story between Tom Cruise and the instructor, civilian instructor. Not believable.
Take
at
my
all.
Breath away.
Yeah, why did they play that song so many times? And why was there so much tongue when they were kissing? There was an aggressive amount of tongue.
Well, I mean, it's Tom Cruise. Heartthrob of the 1980s. He has a leather jacket. He rides a motorcycle. You're telling me that you wouldn't be in on those one-liners that he delivers?
It's just really cliche. It's
Tom
like,
Tongue Cruise.
It's a 1980s movie, though. This is where all the cliches came
my
from.
My dad, and then at the end of the movie, the guy's like, "I knew your dad. I knew your old man. You're better than him." It's very cliche. Did this movie start a lot of those cliches? Is that what you guys are saying?
Oh, I have no idea about the history of cinema. I do know that if you watch it and you are like a 13, 12-year-old boy, I think you can just bump up that 7 out of 10 probably two spots to 9 out of 10.
You're going to commit to the Air Force right after the movie's done. At 10 years old, if you saw Top Gun in the 80s, now you're probably like, I don't know about this anymore. But
well, now they use drone pilots, yeah.
Right, exactly. Right. Yeah, it's not quite. I am curious about the new Top Gun just because of that. I remember there was some movie with Jamie Foxx that came out in the last decade where there's three pilots and they're humans, but they're slowly being phased out by artificial intelligence, which of course turns evil. Spoiler alert. In that movie. I feel like Jessica Biel was one of the pilots as well. Anyway, okay, so Take My Breath Away played way too many times over the course of that movie. What did you think, though, of when they played Hanging with the Boys and everyone's wearing jeans and playing volleyball?
That was a good scene. Jeans was weird, but that was a good scene. I also feel bad for saying this because I know he's had health issues. I didn't realize that Val Kilmer used to be as hot as he was.
Oh, yeah. Val Kilmer was the man.
His jawline,
Iceman.
The smile, everything worked.
He could have been your Huckleberry.
Yeah. I actually get that reference for as much
Tombstone,
as I
baby.
Don't get. Yeah.
Fantastic movie. Yeah. It's a very, he doesn't play by the rules, but he has to learn to play by the rules kind of movie. And he does. And at the end, it's really just a bunch of raging testosterone to the point of homoeroticism, which is fine. It was the 80s.
That's why I don't like you, Maverick, because you're dangerous. That's right, Iceman. I am dangerous.
Basically, and I don't buy, I think it's the Scientology thing, but I just don't buy Tom Cruise as being tough. I'm sorry, I don't.
I do.
Now, maybe 35 years ago it was different.
I think he is more tough now than arguably any actor.
Short Scientology guy?
I think he is the toughest. No, I'm not kidding. He does all his own stunts. The guy's broken his own ribs. I honestly feel like Tom Cruise is borderline as far as actors go. Tom Cruise is a borderline athlete. Have you seen him running in movies? He actually looks like he knows how to run.
I've seen the video of him running,
I mean, I can't get over in watching this Obi-Wan series how slow Princess Leia is running away from people. I know, she's a toddler, I get it, but she's so bleeping slow. And I'm like, how are these people unable to run? Tom Cruise looks like he is Tyreek Hill in the open field. He breaks his ribs doing the actual stunts he does. He's flying the plane in the new Top Gun.
Am I biased against really short Scientologist
men? Yes, you are.
Men?
You are. What's the Scientology got to do with anything? Tom Cruise legitimately does all these things. I have gained more and more respect for him. He's obviously a crazy person, but he is so crazy.
He may be a tough, crazy person.
He cares
I
about his craft.
I know too much about him now.
He's American Jackie Chan, where part of the appeal is he's actually doing that stuff.
Yes.
All right.
That might have been problematic.
Seven out of ten.
I apologize for calling him American.
No,
no. I don't know if that was.
No, well, I think that's fair. If he does his own stunts like you guys say.
We can't claim Jackie Chan as our own action hero. We can't. No.
No, okay. Yeah. No. But it was, I'm interested to see the new one. I've heard a lot of people say that it's even better than the first. So I think it'll be good.
Wow, that's okay. I don't know about that. I don't know if you can say a sequel is better than the original.
Oh, I've seen that on Twitter.
Bad Boys 2 is better than the original Bad Boys.
Wouldn't know. I didn't watch either.
Oh my god.
Actually, I watched the first one.
Shake your tail feather.
Number 2 is even better.
All right, well maybe that's the maybe this should be our new throwback Tuesday and should I watch Bad Boys 1 and 2 over the course of the next week?
Yeah, double feature.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to go see in theaters by myself, get me a large bucket of buttered popcorn and see the second Top Gun.
And watch guys buttered up while wearing jeans playing volleyball.
You know what I like. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, an awkward exchange between an athlete and a reporter. We'll talk about that next.
You going to answer that?
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help. Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So Sam Blum covers the Angels and tweeted, he's a beat reporter for The Athletic, he tweeted out an awkward exchange.
With Joe Maddon.
With Joe Maddon.
Resident baseball nerd.
And this was, I will say, I read through it and I was like, but then I read through it again. It's a little bit awkward.
Do you want to role play this because I don't think we have the audio.
Hello, let's
right?
do it.
We don't. Yeah, this is just classic baseball. You know.
Do you want to be Sam or do you want me to be Sam?
I feel like you're the reporter. Intrepid reporter. I think I said it right this time, and I can definitely pull off the nerdy manager. I do think Sean Mapes has some Joe Maddon vibes going on with the like the you got the
he
Joe
does,
Maddon glasses.
The glasses.
100%.
Every person with glasses, I look like. Every white guy with glasses.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Mike McDaniel. I don't look like Mike McDaniel.
Yeah, you do, though.
I'm glashished, I guess.
okay, so we begin our interaction this way.
I'll jump off a cliff after that one.
Joe, do you feel like the team's still competing and fighting the way you want right now?
What do you think?
I mean, you've lost 12 in a row.
But you asked a different question. What do you think,
I'm asking,
Sam?
I'm asking what you think.
Are you saying we're not competing?
I'm not saying that. I'm curious if you think so.
Well, you must be thinking that if you asked the question.
Well, I'm not the manager, but you guys have lost 12 in a row. I think it's a fair question. The PR team then asks them to move on.
Sam can take
He's asking me questions.
I am.
And I'm answering them.
Because I obviously think we're playing hard. We're not winning games right now. But I'm not going to denigrate the effort by the guys. I'm asking if you're seeing it. Because I'm not, Sam.
I mean, I have not won a World Series as a manager. So I wouldn't be the one to ... PR asks him to move on.
And scene.
Scene. We're going to win an Emmy?
Joe Maddon should have acted that way, but I bet it was a bunch of mumbling BS. You've lost 12 in a row. Are you really going to get mad at somebody for asking a question like
that? Yeah, I mean, it's projection, right? He's frustrated as a manager that they've lost 12 in a row when he has the insane roster that they have. I don't think there's an excuse for it. But the initial question, do you feel like the team's still competing and fighting the way you want right now, is not a bad question.
No, it's not.
It's actually a perfectly fine
it's
question.
It's a team with, what, two actual MVPs, the third partial MVP candidate, and Anthony Rendon. They have Noah Syndergaard and Shohei Ohtani pitching for them. They should be at least winning, I don't know, one of every
right.
five games, not 12 in a row losing. And it's hilarious. It's the AL West is so terrible. It really is. That's how the Mariners can actually, I think, with a green light, start beef with the Astros, even though the Astros own that ass.
Own that ass. Eloquently said.
Just talking about my old thing.
Sam Blum did say that he and Joe Maddon talked after the press conference and, quote, all is good. All right.
Boo. I want that beef to continue.
You want the beef to keep going.
Yeah.
Gary Cohen and Keith Hernandez had a fun moment on an SNY broadcast over a little bit of baseball language. Here it is.
So here we are again. The Mets stroking out 8 hits. Yeah, stroke.
Did you say stroking out?
Stroking out, yes. It's a baseball stroke.
I think you need to watch your language there. Because you know, we're getting older, and stroking out is something we don't want to be doing.
What do you say, I'm a creepy old man?
No. I think you're missing the point here.
That's a baseball stroke.
No, but from a medical standpoint, you know what stroking out
means? Is that appropriate laughter?
So Keith Hernandez's mind was in the gutter. Gary Cohen was talking about having a stroke. Keith Hernandez was thinking of a different type of stroking out.
For some reason, I thought that Hernandez was the one that was actually being the adult in the room and that the play-by-play guy was being the rascal.
No. Keith Hernandez was the one that said stroking out, and then Gary Cohen was the one that was like, you don't want to say that. And then Keith Hernandez thought that Gary Cohen was calling him a perv, thinking of stroking out.
But Gary Cohen was actually talking about having a stroke.
And then Gary Cohen was like, no, I mean like an actual stroke. And then that's why they laughed like that.
Yeah. Children, but it was very funny.
That is awesome. I got to say, when do you say stroke in any sport other than golf? Like, do you say it in tennis? Even? I mean,
usually when people say stroking out, they mean somebody had a stroke.
Well, yeah,
I think I
know that. I'm just thinking, is there any other sport that you use the term stroke other than golf?
Yeah, because Keith Hernandez does go like, yeah, you know,
it's
like
a baseball
stroke.
Right.
I've never heard of that.
Baseball
dude.
Stroke.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
Oh,
yeah.
Swimming. Backstroke.
Swimming. There you go.
Is that?
Shout out to the University of Texas Swimming.
Yeah, that's
that
true.
We've
better than Texas football.
Second in the NCAA.
All right,
maybe cricket.
Time.
Yeah.
For our segment of which we call Garbage Time.
I wanted to talk cricket.
Oh, I love trash.
Garbage Time.
It's garbage.
How's Texas cricket doing?
No.
I'm the trash man.
Not as good as their Quidditch team.
No, and every sport except football. According to a new study, tall people are at a greater risk of more than 100 health problems.
Oh, no. That's not good for me.
Yeah.
What?
Absolutely, it's not good for you, Mister. Are you one of those 6 foot guys on a dating app?
No, I'm 6 foot tall on my license.
Oh, good.
My government issue ID.
You had that on you very fast.
Yeah, it's paper. It's fine. It's printed out. It's not technically official because I'm waiting like three months to get mine in the mail.
By the way, update. I contacted the DMV. They said they mailed mine and that it must have gotten lost in the mail, so they had to send me another one.
All right, I guess I'm going to have to do that, too.
You're probably going to have to do that, too.
Good to know.
Adulting is fun. According to a news station in Atlanta, a trio of suspects are in jail after they stole a car and then went to get drive-through at Chick-fil-A.
Well, when you're hungry. And you generally think that if you're going to get fast food, that Chick-fil-A is going to serve you the quickest. They have two lanes. Three lanes even at some of the Chick-fil-A's out there. So I respect the hustle, you know? And that would have been a nice last meal to have before you go to jail.
It would be. I would suggest maybe not going to the most honest place where they love Jesus and whatnot. That was kind of a bad karma.
You gotta go...
Like Taco Bell.
McDonald's. Where, like, criminals are welcome at McDonald's.
Wow. Thanks. The McDonald's sponsor is really thankful now, Sean.
You don't serve a billion hamburgers without a couple bad eggs in there.
Lawyers for Casey White, the Alabama man who escaped with Vicky White to lovely Evansville, Indiana, have a new defense. Their defense is that he was, quote, under her care and custody.
Yeah. Honestly, I would buy that.
Care and custody. Oh, I'm sure. And that room number 114 at the Motel 6 in Evansville, which is now going for $100 a night.
I don't know. I think she might have been taking advantage of him. So, I mean, shoot.
We'll see. All right. Hey, that's another episode of Vanessa and Gallant. Up next, you got Jeremy Branham. You got Joel Blank from 12 to 3. The Killer Bees on 97.5 and 92.5.
Peace.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.